Okay, everybody. Welcome to the Fred Report Technical Market Call. And it is October 16th, 2014. We're going to make some briefer comments today just to be respectful of other people's time. First thing, some housekeeping. We have a PowerShares University. I will be in Birmingham, Alabama at the Westin Hotel October 22nd from 3 to 5, and there will be some cocktails after. I'm also going to be in Nashville on the 20th and 21st. Any Nashvillians that would like to see me at that time, do send an email. We'll see what we can do. We have a bunch of meetings, but we'll do what we can. Okay. You guys probably don't need me to tell you that the break of 190 has caused a bit more selling and volatility here, but that has been what's happened. A couple of points about this. The first is sentiment is still quite iffy. Percent bears moved up to 17% bears from 14% bears on the daily readings. You know, you normally get to 25 to 30% before there's a real bottom of long-term nature, and intermediate term, we'd like to see that number over 20. So sentiment is really still a weakness here. In addition, and Jeff can comment on this during his discussion, all of the media sources I look at, and I don't look at as many as Jeff does, are eagerly looking for a bottom and talking about how great all this is. Generally, that's not how you bottom. Something very important here, which I've alluded to and mentioned, and I want to explain. We have bull market and bear market parameters for some of the technical indicators that we use. These indicators have entered bear market parameters, which means this may be a bad oversold, i.e., even if we bounce here, we could make lower lows. And those indicators, most importantly, are saying that the character of the market has changed enough that we want to be a little bit more cautious about throwing money in here and declaring a bottom. That said, we did put out a list of stocks today. We looked for companies that were highly rated, good companies that would be around even if we have a recession, with a couple of exceptions, AUI obviously being one of those. That's my favorite speculative ID in the golds. But, you know, stocks like Bank of America, which we really like, you know, we'd be buying Bank of America today with the idea being that if the spider gets down to 175, we'll add to that name. And I think that the best thing for people to do here is to say, if we do get down to our forecast 175 area, we'll revisit all of our names. In other words, put some money in now. You kind of have to with this kind of volatility. Realize that very often these sorts of declines end with a big down puke type day like we had at the bottom in February. Those occur an awful lot of the time when you have sentiment levels that are as low as this on the bears. We need to see a little bit more. Now, yesterday was a nice day with capitulation. You know, we were down a lot and it did come back, but again, there's a lot of people looking for a bottom. In terms of international markets, you know, EEM is basically holding that 40 area where we've been trying to buy it all year for a run to 45. If I were going to put money into international funds right now, it would be emerging markets. Europe continues to look worse, especially Germany and Italy. You know, obviously, I wish I hadn't switched from Switzerland to Germany at the beginning of the year. We've reversed that back into Switzerland. That's our favorite defensive choice in Europe, but we would be avoiding Europe. Don't overlook small cap in here. We did a piece on the monthly FPOs in small cap, and when you look at the Russell, it's actually starting to do a little bit better on this. So don't overlook putting a little bit of money into small cap here as well. Now we're going to move on to some other markets. TLT, we've been looking for 125. It exceeded that, but it's below that now. We would actually sell some of our bonds on this. The chances are we've hit very close to a low on bonds, enough so that if you want to take trading profits at these highs on TLT, it's worthwhile. Rates may not go much lower. Also, again, watch preferreds and some of the other stuff. They're trading very, very badly. Gold has been a bright spot for us here. GLD, again, has done about what we thought it would do, which was trade up to 120 and pause. We still like the looks of gold, and we would be adding the positions on a pullback. As long as GLD now holds 116, we're probably okay. The weekly stochastic today is at 20.74, so it's turning up just above 20. Anything above 120 on GLD would probably be a very good sign for that. Oil. We put oil on our bucket list, to take advantage of the seasonal trend. We did that a little higher. We are still interested in oil while acknowledging the fact that this may be one of the years where the oil trade fails. The way to do the seasonal oil trade is you buy something in oil. We use USO or DBO. You put in a 10% stop loss, and you walk away, and you look at it in January. To capitalize on a possible rally in oil, we put ExxonMobil in to, in our chart book that we sent out today for aggressive trading buys. And again, one of the reasons that's in there is if this market does go to 1750 from here and ExxonMobil falls, ExxonMobil's still going to be around in 2 years. So it's a relatively decent play for that. Now, what do we do here? I mean, there's a couple of things we should do, and I guess the first one I would mention is my old branch manager, when I was a broker after the crash of 87, said you better talk to your clients because someone is talking to them. So this is a great time to call clients and let them know you're on the ball and stuff. And you all know that, but I'm going to mention it anyway. And slowly add the quality and relax. These things happen. They always pass. And, we'll probably be better off here. In fact, almost certainly be better off here in a year. The question really is, what happens in the next, few weeks, 2 months, and, I think there's a good chance. I know as I put some money in here today, I'd look for 175 later on a retest and exceeding of the lows, and there you are. So, Jeff, I'm going to open the call to you. We've got an awful lot of very busy people on the line. So, Jeff?
Hey, Fred, how are you?
Very good.
Okay. So my first question for you is, I mean, you've been saying this for a while, that we could have a pretty good sell-off here and we could get down to, into the 180s on SPY and even potentially 175. It's been very quick and obviously very volatile. Can we count on potentially as big a quicker counter rally going back up, or is it going to be slow?
Jeff, my guess is we're going to see a rally up towards 190 to 194 and then some retracement and basing around. There's enough technical damage that, I wouldn't rely on a quick move back up. I mean, if you're buying some stuff and we get it, that's fine. But I wouldn't rely on that. I'd look a little bit more for some basing action.
Okay, great. My next question for you is IWM. I mean, are you impressed by what's been happening with it this week? I mean, it to me, it looks like it's really trying to put it in a bottom here.
We did that piece on how small cap was much more oversold, and one, either small cap was going to catch up to large cap in terms of where the FPOs were, or large cap was going to catch up to where small cap was, where the FPOs were. And it looks like small cap is holding more and large cap is catching up. But that said, we would definitely consider adding money to small cap. PRFZ is an interesting idea, which we've used. It's fundamentally weighted small and mid, Russell sort of thing. And, we will certainly watch that. I think that's going to be an area of interest to us in the next year. And that's important, really. Small cap could do much better next year than people are currently giving it credit for, in my opinion.
Okay, great. Next question for you. So I have heard people saying since the 10-year broke, too, that we could go all the way to 160, which would put T TLT and just totally parabolic. I mean, what are the chances do you think that something like that could actually occur? I mean, clearly that would be driven by, you know, Ebola getting a lot worse. I mean, just a lot of really bad things happening and going down a lot. But, I mean, do you see any way that we could take the 10-year to 160?
You know, Jeff, anything is possible. But when I look at the chart of TLT and of Treasury bond futures, it reminds me a lot of when bond prices peaked in 1998 during the long-term capital management deal. You'll recall, because I think we were at Robbins Humphrey together, that's the day I locked in my mortgage on my house, and those rates weren't seen again for many years. So I guess what I would say is anything is possible, but if you're trading bonds, I'd start to feed some of them out in this area, not all of them. And the real problem is our benchmark at 110 is now 15 points away. We're going to come up with a new trading stop for TLT traders that's higher. But unfortunately, we can't find a more investable one. So, you know, it's possible, but I doubt it.
Okay, next question for you. The OEX, so S&P 100, it is now back below its 2000 highs. The NASDAQ index has never got above it, but all the other indexes are way above it. Is that like a problem that the S&P 100 is back below its 2000 highs?
Yeah, it is, because that's some of the biggest stocks in the S&P. I'll have to look at that. My concern, if you want to have a concern, is that the New York Composite is back below the 2007 highs. So the entire, you know, in other words, our secular bear maybe bull case rested on that staying above the 2007 highs, which were around 10,300. That sets up a potentially steeper correction, and that's one of our concerns. But yeah, I'm not so concerned about the OEX at this point, especially because it's options expiration. But I will look at that and maybe write about that this week.
Okay, that'd be great. So I guess the really big question was the volatility that we saw yesterday in the pukage, which is obviously a relative term. Is there a chance that that was enough and we could be on the backside of this volatility?
There is certainly a chance, and that's, Jeff, why we sent out that stock list this morning. You know, I'm the first person to tell you that no one really knows exactly what's going to happen. I'm fairly good at figuring it out. When you see that kind of action, you have to buy something. But, Jeff, you watch the media and talk a lot more to media people and stuff than I do. How many people said what we need to do is sell today after yesterday's action that you saw?
Not many.
Not many. How many people said this is the bottom, oh, goody, we can get cheap stocks now?
A bunch.
And with bearish sentiment at 17%, that is still a concern. You know, one of the questions you have to ask is how many times does the market fall 20% or more? And one of the things that I've always hated in the media is they say, golly, the market's down 20%, we're having a bear market now, which always implies to me that if you're in a bear market, you sell, you don't buy. And yet most corrections are of the really steep variety are 20 to 25%. So, you know, they're actually telling you to do exactly the wrong thing. What I want to see is a shift in sentiment towards the bearish side. What I think you will see to get that is what my good friend Robert Prechter has always called the slope of hope. You know, there's the wall of worry, there's the slope of hope, where everyone goes, oh, goody, it's bottomed, and then it doesn't bottom. Oh, goody, it's bottomed, and then it doesn't bottom. And then finally they say, golly, it's never going to bottom, and that's the bottom. So there is risk of that, and that's why I'm saying we need to be a little bit more sagacious here and watch ourselves. And if it does go to 172 to 175 and take out the January lows, Certainly plan for that. Hope it doesn't happen, but plan for that. And we'll see what happens.
Okay, great. So that's it for me. I'll turn it back to you because I'm sure there's lots of questions.
If there's questions, yeah, and I understand that people have to go. Please feel free to hit *6 to unmute your telephone lines, and we'll take any questions that anyone may have.
Brad, it's Rocky.
Rocky, how are you?
Good. I heard your comment a little while ago about Bank of America. What are your thoughts on the small regional banks, or specifically that SPDR, KRE?
KRE. That also is trading reasonably well, and I think the financials actually are going to be a good sector for next year. Rocky, the only thing I would say is small banks are overowned for safety purposes, and if this economy really is getting better and is going to recover, we may see some better action in big banks. So what I would be doing, if I were adding money to financials, I would be adding more to the large bank space. I don't think I'd sell my small banks, but I would add to my large banks if I were adding financials here.
One other thing, do you think we'll see 194 on the SPY before we see 174?
Rocky, you can flip a coin. We're oversold on almost all the indicators that I follow, that even in bear markets, you get a rally from this area of oversoldness on the indicators. But you know the old expression, the horse has the bit in its teeth and it's going to run and run and run, right? This may just do that if Europe continues to get worse and the sentiment continues to be lousy. I would plan for 175 first and hope that it goes. But you know, the trick to being successful in this kind of environment is to not jump on your horse and ride off in all directions. It's to pick some good stocks, pick some good horses, if you will, and slowly average into them and see what happens.
Okay. Thanks, Fred.
Surely.
Hey, Fred, this is Joel.
Joel, how are you?
Good. Real quick question. You mentioned that usually the way these things end is in a big whoosh type of sell-off, which has been the way they've all bottomed, it seems like, so far. What is your definition of big? Because, I mean, I don't know if like a 400-point decline or if it's now that we're at 16,000, is it 800 points, what would we look for?
You know, the whole thing, really, the thing I didn't like about yesterday's movement was that it came back at the close. If it had closed down at 182, I would have been highly stimulated. Okay? In other words, a whoosh move is 400, 500, 600 points, whatever, but closing down and dirty, not, you know, coming back at the close and looking really exciting. Okay. One thing, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, second thing, you talked about this bullish bearish sentiment. Bearish is still at 17%.
Yeah.
By the time that that happens, let's say you do get that whoosh, if we were still down at these type of bearish percent levels, would you just hold off or would you still go ahead?
You know, I would discount that, but realize that we need to see some more bears come in. But if we got that kind of whoosh, I'd have to buy it.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Good.
Hey,
let me point out one other thing before, and your question is next, sorry, but let me point out one other thing because this may help. Right now we've got what's called an inside day forming on the SPY, and that means we have a higher low and a lower high than yesterday. If we were to close in here, you can use yesterday's high and low, i.e. 188 as a place to buy or 182 as a place to sell. Those inside days often are signs of trend change or trend continuation. In other words, it's a pause. But we don't know if we've got that until the end of the day. Sorry, and I interrupted you. Your question.
Hey, Fred, that's fine. This is Nick in Columbia.
Hey, Nick, how are you?
I'm just great. The thing that is also lacking in this market is volume as far as going to your capitulation. Or am I misreading something?
Well, yeah, the volume levels, because a lot of the off-exchange trading and stuff are much harder to read now than they were. I look much more at price action than I do at volume, but that is a concern.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, hey, Fred, it's Don.
Hey, Don, how are you?
Good. Couple items here. You mentioned muni bonds favorably. First question, does that MYD look like it's just got a little pullback and getting ready to move on out to a new recovery high, like the 15 that we talked about? And then the second question is in regards to the EWJ. Seems to be just trending with our market, and do you just leave that one alone? I mean, we're down in support, but do you just leave it alone until we really think our market is done also?
You know, I would I'm going to answer the EWJ question first. We were looking at the possibility of EWJ getting back to 1080 on the last call, Don. That seems like a long time ago. If you don't have Japanese exposure here, you might want to pick some up, whether it's EWJ or DXJ, if you don't have any Japanese exposure. I certainly think it is moving in sympathy with our market and wouldn't sell it, you know, based on what's going on in Japan right now. In terms of your MYD, that is actually probably a nice pullback and looks like it's actually going to start to do pretty well again.
Okay.
That was MYF, John, or Don?
MYD, yeah.
MYD, okay. I was looking at MYF. Yeah, those all look like nice pullbacks, and we could see higher prices. Put it this way, I have no reason to sell MYD at this time. I'd hold on to it. It looks like it's doing pretty well.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Sure. Other questions?
Fred, this is Joel again. If nobody's going to ask about it, I'm just going to mention. The VIX, the volatility index, is there a level that would also be something you'd look for to signify capitulation?
You know, I don't even look at the VIX.
Okay.
I've never looked at it. But what I will say is I have a volatility indicator based on the average range of the S&P. And that is getting to levels where you would say you're starting to see some capitulation.
Okay. All right.
It has to turn up. That indicator has not yet turned up. We're at levels where you normally turn up from, but you have not turned up yet.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Other questions? And I know everyone's busy. I'm amazed there's anyone on the call at all, to be honest with you.
Hey,
Hi, Fred.
This is
Justin
Williamsburg.
The Williamsburg guy first.
Oh. Hey, Fred. It's CJ.
Hey, CJ. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I got a couple of questions. I think one, I've actually had some clients mention the horrific charts of energy stocks in general. And I know you talked about oil and how the seasonal trade may not work, but if you're looking to buy some of those at just, you know, like a Schlumberger or a Halliburton or something like that, it's some really just absurd discounts. At what point do you start looking at them? Do you pay attention to the stochastics or?
Yeah, I think that the general market action is probably going to trump indicators on some of these. Halliburton, for example, is a little bit lower than we thought it was going to go if things got really bad. We thought it would go to 50, and it's at 49.38, so I would start to nibble at that. On Schlumberger, which looks a little tiny bit worse to us, we thought that one would actually go to 90 to 93, and it's below there, but I could nibble at that. And ExxonMobil is our favorite because it's got natural gas, and the damn thing is actually up already today. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the trick is pick the bigger companies, you know, that, you know, I don't think we're going to have a recession and things are going to get really awful, but certainly they could, right? I mean, Ebola could stop the economy in its tracks. You want to have something like ExxonMobil rather than something like Rig. So that if the economy does stop in its tracks, you've got some money there. Okay?
In my account, 6, 5, 8,
And could you also take a look at American Express too, please? AXP.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Let me take a look at the weekly chart on that. Let's have a quick look at that. You know, you're getting down to 70 to where it could bottom, although it could go as low as 75 in another push. What's interesting, and again, caveat being, folks, I own this stock, but Discover is still the best-looking credit card stock here, DFS. If you are at a loss in American Express and you want to hide out in another credit card, you could switch to Discover and do a 31-day switch and take the tax loss. I think that if the market starts to go up, DFS will outperform on the upside, and it's outperforming on the downside.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Got it.
Hi, Fred. This is Justin.
Justin, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am well enough. Busy, as
good.
I'm sure you can imagine.
Absolutely. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the European market, EFA, and then specifically Syngenta, Vodafone, and Sanofi.
Okay. EFA is still a little bit worse than we thought it was going to be. Looking at where it could support on the monthly chart, if it goes much below 57, you've probably got a shot at 50 to 52 before it really supports. Vodafone, let me have a quick look at VOD. That is trading better than EFA. I would be surprised if it went below 25, and that might be a good way to actually trade Europe. What are the symbols on the other two that you had?
Syngenta is SYT.
SYT. That looks worse than Vodafone, but has a lot of support between 50 and 55.
Okay. And then Sanofi is SNY.
SNY. That is actually trading quite well, and if you want to try to buy something based on relative strength, you could buy that one today. I would start to worry if it went below 45. You've got to give on these European stocks a little bit more than you would normally give.
Okay.
In terms of stop loss.
And then one more, Total, TOT, and I know you'd rather own Exxon, but if I own Total already, does it look like a bottoming? Should I keep it?
I would keep it, and if it were to fall to 48 to 50, get a hold of me offline. We may want to look to average it there.
Okay.
Bearish sentiment on oil, by the way, is very, very, very high now. And there's one thing on oil that I'm not sure everyone understands, and it may illustrate a mistake that I have made this time. Oil has contract expiry every month. And it's a sure bet that the expiry at the end of October for the October oil contract probably is not going to be a big rally. In other words, contracts that are delivering right now are probably going to be down. So you may see a little bit of choppiness and weakness in the actual oil futures until the November contract starts to come in. Normally, when you do the seasonal trade, you buy the crude oil in mid-October, and you start to anticipate a better time with the November and December contracts. But in this case, that may have been too early.
Hey, Fred.
Two, 3 more weeks of hassle here, possibly. Yes, sir.
Hey, Fred. It's Chris.
Chris, how are you?
Doing pretty good. Client asked me about NCV. It's a high-yield convert.
You know, a lot of those funds have went to discounts. High yield's a little risky, but that is a nice try, and I would do it.
Great. Thanks, buddy.
Good. And give Len my best. Tell him I hope he had a great time in Italy. I loved his email. Tell him I absolutely loved his email.
Oh, I know. I think he just jumped off the call, but I'll pass it along.
Good. Okay. Any other questions? And by the way, everyone should feel free during this turbulent time. If you need an email question, please send an email, and I will do my best to respond as quickly as I can.
Hey Fred, it's Jeff. I got another quick question for you.
Sure.
Take a look at Disney. And let's assume that like Ebola is a bigger problem than currently like what people are thinking it's going to be, and it results in travel disruptions and some other things. Clearly, Disney is a stock that, you know, I mean, they've diversified away from the park, but the park is still a pretty big deal. But let's say the worst case situation evolves. If the stock gets down to say $65, would you be like a, like back up the truck at that level on the stock?
I'd be very interested at 65 to 60 if it were to get there.
With where it's at right now, if it doesn't hold the 80 level, and obviously yesterday intraday it broke it. Where could we see it going kind of to the next level? Where are the next couple levels on it before we get to 65?
You know, 72 and 66. I don't think it's going to hold 65. I think it would go to 60 directly.
So you're saying 60 would be the ultimate kind of level to be a buyer?
Yeah. And, you know, Jeff, we haven't talked about this, but some of these stocks could have 50% retracements of their move up from 2011, from October. So 30 to 90 is 60 points. 50% of 60 points is 30. 90 minus 30 is 60. That would be perfect if it got really bad.
Okay, so back to that question. XLE, it basically has corrected 20% now. And if we
right.
go back and look at the last really bad correction in energy, it was 2008. And from June till December, XLE came off 70%. What is the chance you think that, like, that would happen now? In terms of looking at the charts and everything, at the rate of descent that we've seen in basically September, that looks similar. I mean, are there parallels in the energy market now to what happened in 2008?
Not really, no. I don't think.
Okay.
One of the things that happened in energy in 2008, there were two things. The first one was we had a worldwide recession really occur, and everything went down. The second thing is that my guess is the Saudis tried to lower the price of oil to influence our election, because oil prices were really high then, to get the Republicans elected. And I don't think they're doing that now either. So, I mean, that was a great play, and we had that back then and traded that pretty well. But I don't see a similar situation there.
Okay. That's it for me. I'll let you wrap it up.
Any other questions? Sorry?
Fred, it's Ron.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Doing well. You're hard to hear.
Sorry. I'm in my car. ITG and MEOH.
ITG, Investment Technology, which actually, you know, it's up today and trading reasonably well. Let's see where support is. It's held support, so you can buy that if you want. And what was the second one?
MEOH, Methanex.
Ah. A break of 51 would probably be a problem, and back above 57.5 would probably be pretty good.
Great, thank you.
And I know you're a little more aggressive, so yeah, I would trade that like that.
Thank you.
Hey, Fred, it's Mitch. Sorry, I've been jumping on and off the call. Just MLPs, have you touched on the MLPs yet, AMJ?
I haven't, but I was actually looking at the MLP ETFs and thinking that those were actually buyable in here, even if MLPA, which is the way I look at it, ultimately trades back to 1575 to 16, you're probably going to be just fine on those.
And they're rallying hard today.
Yeah, and you know, I'm probably insane to really like oil here, but when I see the sentiment and I see everybody telling me that I'm an idiot to like it and it really isn't going down that much and stocks like Exxon are up, I got to try something with oil, and MLPs are as good a thing as any. And golly, they did get kind of pounded, didn't they, Mitch?
I'm sorry, say that again?
They did get kind of pounded.
Time?
They got pretty badly beaten up.
Yeah, they got beaten up pretty good the last 2 days, though. Yesterday they were actually up, and today they're rallying pretty strong. So.
Yeah. You know, the other thing we talked, I know you and I talked offline that if this thing got really, really bad that we would buy utilities real quick.
Mm-hmm.
We would probably undo that, start to undo that now.
Okay. Good to know. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Any other questions?
Fred, what would you do with Ford here?
I would actually hold Ford, and, you know, it got right down to the level I thought it would get to, down around 13. So it, to me, is a hold, and if you want to try to buy it, you can. Just be aware that if the market does turn and go back down first, you could be looking at 11, so leave a little bit of money aside. But this is one of those ones that might start to rally in here.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Fred Allen, what about FireEye, Foxtrot Echo Yankee Echo?
Yeah, I tried to call you yesterday. You know, it actually looks sort of buyable here and could get to 31, 32. If it doesn't go through 33, your risk back to 25 is there.
Very good. What about Fortinet, Foxtrot, Nancy, Tango, November?
Foxtrot, Nancy, Tango, November. FNTN, I don't get something. Hang on, let me try one other thing.
Pardon. Foxtrot, Tango, November,
Nancy.
Tango.
Yeah, November. Got it. Okay. Let me take a look at a longer-term chart on that because it's kind of in, you know, it's a hold. I don't think I would buy this here, but it's a hold.
Thank you.
And the reason I say that is if for some reason it doesn't work, it looks like it could get to 20, which is enough that I don't think it's as good a risk as some of the other names we put out.
You're good.
Good enough. Other questions? Very good. And again, remember, if you guys have questions, feel free to email them in, fred@thefredreport.com. And this will end the Fred Report technical market call for October 16th, 2014. Thank you.